Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join us in our mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Amplify Your Process Safety podcast. I'm Joe Pastor, your host, and today you are in for a treat because we've prepared a very special episode for you in a very different format compared to our usual episodes. And this is actually the first time we've put together an episode like this, so we do look forward to hearing what you think as I try to channel my inner Ira Glass. And that was a reference to the host of the This American Life podcast, in case you're unfamiliar. So let's get into it. Our focus in today's episode is to answer the question, why should process safety matter to you? To help us answer this question, we asked you, our listeners, we asked those we've worked with in some capacity in the past. We asked some of our previous podcast guests. We invited process safety professionals to weigh in, and we even asked ourselves. Now, why did we do this? Well, we think process safety is extremely important. I mean, that's why we have this podcast, and that's why our company, Amplify Process Safety, even exists in the first place. But usually when people are passionate about something, in order to kind of ignite that passion in others, it's really important to understand the why. The stories that color your passion in the first place, the reason someone new to industry or someone unfamiliar with process safety should care as well. So today we bring you those stories. We've got some emails to share and a handful of accounts from folks as passionate about process safety as we are. And if you're new to process safety, we really hope this episode will cultivate a respect for its importance and kind of fuel a fire in you to learn more. And if you're a seasoned process safety professional, we think you'll connect a lot to these stories and remember why this has been your passion too. So to kick things off, we'll start with a newer process safety professional, Jacob Carter. He told us in his email that he first learned about process safety his first year at Mississippi State University when a weekend process safety course was offered that he attended, and he found it was the CCPS Process Safety Fundamentals Certificate Program through AICI. Jacob went on to graduate in 2019, and then the first job he took was at a facility that was actually not PSM covered. However, today he works at Rome America and is involved daily with managing different elements of PSM, including mechanical integrity, management of change, P&ID updates, relief design projects, pre-startup safety reviews, safe work, hot permits, contractors, the works. So all of that and more. He wrote that, and now I'm going to read directly from his email. PSM is important to me because it focuses on both human, chemical, and process fundamentals in order to send home all workers, including contractors, the way they arrived that day, protect the community and surrounding environment from possible release or incident, and to protect the process itself. He goes on to say that he really enjoys watching the CSB's incident investigation videos and reading their reports and seeing what good practices he can adopt at his own facility based on the recommendations. He also said he is a more recent listener of this podcast. So Jacob, thank you. And finally, Jacob told us that he hopes to get the CCPS Process Safety Professional Certification in the future, and he knows that PSM is the route he wants to take in his career. So Jacob, we so appreciate you writing in and letting us share your thoughts. It's so nice to know there is an appreciation and passion for process safety out there amongst younger professionals, and we really hope you'll continue to share this passion with others throughout your career. So thank you, Jacob. All right, our next story comes from Ian Davis. Ian majored in chemical engineering, and as he approached graduation, he just really wasn't so sure about exactly what he'd be doing next and kind of what that would look like. He really had the desire to share information and to make a difference and considered a different career path at first, but I'll let Ian take it from here to share his story.
When I was in college, I don't think I had any concept of what process safety was. And when it came time to graduating with a degree in chemical engineering, I was I was pretty lost and didn't quite know what I wanted to do professionally. And there was a while where I tinkered around with the idea of actually becoming a teacher, a school teacher, because I tutored for all 4 years of my time in college, and I loved that. And I saw that you could have that real tangible impact on people when you're doing that. But it didn't feel like the right time in my life to just jump straight into that. I felt like there was something else that I wanted to do first, but I didn't quite know what that was. And so when I found NSAFE, and that sort of introduced me to the world of chemical process safety, it was a lot to take in at first, naturally. But once I started working in, process safety, doing PHAs, PSM audits, building PSM programs from scratch, doing applicability reviews and assessments, I started to see more of how the work that we were doing for clients that were working in really high hazard chemical industries was actually having a tangible impact. Just because when you're out at these places and you're going around and talking with, especially with the people who have the most to lose if something goes wrong, the real frontline workers, and they see that you're there trying to just help their site become a safer place, it's a win-win for everyone. And I love the feeling of that. And so very early on, I knew that I had made a very good decision entering into this field. And something else that also I really like about working in PSM is, as someone who I'd say I'm pretty curious, always trying to learn more about the things that I know and don't know. When you just look at the PSM and RMP standards, they're not technical standards really at all. I mean, they're just sort of the basic guardrails for how a site should be operating their process safety programs. So what it got me really curious into looking into more were, okay, well, what are those technical standards? How do we know how to design a PRV, or what materials of construction this vessel should be made of, and so on and so forth? So the APIs, the ANSIs, the NFPAs, the ISOs, those are the things that working in PSM and RMP got me a lot more interested in reading and understanding and being able to actually, extract useful information from them and provide that to clients, that some of which are PSM clients, some of which are not at all. And so just from a curiosity standpoint, process safety is an amazing field to be in. If you want to just be able to constantly be learning more, you can never learn at all. I mean, I literally have a stack of books actually right next to me right now that I am slowly working my way through of, flammable liquid safety, CCPS guidelines for auditing, and, proper design, and, look forward to being able to learn more about those things as I continue with my career. And then I was just saying another thing too that it got me into that I never even anticipated when I started here at NSAFE was actually getting to do what I would consider is teaching. So I lead a lot of emergency response training courses, which I got involved with sort of through that PSM route, because, it's a element of PSM, but, B, just from a risk standpoint, a lot of clients that are working in high hazard chemical industries can't necessarily afford to rely on, mutual aid first response group or, municipal responders. They need to have that, on-site sort of standby rescue or hazmat capabilities. And so by doing things like confinement-based rescue and hazmat training through NSAFE, not only do I enjoy it because I think it's fun and interesting, and it's challenging, very technically challenging, but B, it sort of gets me back into that swing of, I feel like I'm able to do some of that teaching that I knew that I wanted to in some way, shape, or form incorporate into my career, but didn't really know how to. And so being able to spend some of my time doing that has just been amazing. And I look forward to continuing that for, both PSM and non-PSM sites.
I love that Ian got to fulfill his desire to teach, to share information, and to make a difference after all. Ian, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. All right, moving along, our next contribution comes from a podcast listener and process safety professional, Michael Kennedy. Now, Michael wrote to us regarding two close call events that he experienced firsthand. Both occurred during maintenance turnarounds, and if you've been listening to any of our incident breakdown episodes where we cover the CSB's final investigation reports, you'll know that turnarounds, because they usually happen infrequently and they may involve different operating procedures and parameters, can present new hazards. And we unfortunately see that many incidents involve these types of turnaround operations. Now, here are the close calls that Michael shared with us. So for close call event number one, here's what happened in his words. Following a planned unit shutdown as part of a maintenance turnaround, the Olefins unit was being de-inventoried and decontaminated to allow internal entry by maintenance personnel. One portion of the unit that was in heavy oil service required decontamination using hot, soapy water. Following circulation of this hot, soapy water for some time, it was pumped into a large atmospheric storage tank whose only purpose was to collect this hot, oily wastewater collected during unit turnarounds. Following each maintenance turnaround, this wastewater would be slowly processed through the site's wastewater treatment system. After all of the hot, oily wastewater was pumped into this large atmospheric storage tank, I was standing immediately next to the tank along with one of the unit's operations technicians. As the oily wastewater began to cool, it naturally began to pull a vacuum within this atmospheric storage tank. After hearing loud noises coming from this tank, the operations technician immediately recognized the potential mechanical failure of this tank and ran up the stairway to the top of the tank and opened the emergency vent hatch to relieve the vacuum. A crease had already begun to form along one side of the tank due to the initial vacuum. This atmospheric storage tank was equipped with a conservation vent to relieve overpressure and vacuum conditions. The primary causal factor for this event was that this conservation vent was not inspected prior to this maintenance turnaround. Upon inspection following this incident, this conservation vent had become home to a large bee's nest, which prevented its proper operation. Therefore, we ensured that this and other storage tank conservation vents were inspected as needed. All right, and then close call event number two that Michael shared with us in his words is this. During the re-inventory of process chemicals into this same olefins unit prior to a unit restart, I was called to respond to a process chemical release that was occurring within one of the unit process areas for which I had responsibilities. Upon field inspection, I could see and smell a large propane vapor cloud that was forming and expanding above the unit concrete pad. Emergency response personnel quickly responded to activate fire water monitors to disperse the propane vapors. It was then recognized that the propane was being released from some process equipment that had been, quote, out of service for many years. When this process system was shut down and isolated years earlier, it was thought that it had been completely isolated. This out of service equipment later became a salvage junkyard. For example, pumps and various pieces of piping would be removed and used elsewhere. Again, it was thought that this out of service equipment was completely isolated with blinds from the active operating unit. But there was small diameter piping that was part of this system's pressure relief system that was not included in the original isolation of this out of service equipment. This non-isolated piping contained a high pressure rupture disc. The piping downstream of this rupture disc was connected to the unit sour flare header. Since this small diameter piping and rupture disc were parts of an overpressure control system, I can easily understand how this rupture disc was not isolated with a metal blind when the system was originally isolated. The propane leak occurred when the sour flare header pressure increased during unit startup. This caused the unisolated rupture disc to blow open backwards, allowing propane to enter the out-of-service equipment that was open to the world. Piping to this rupture disc should have been included with the original equipment isolation. Michael also writes that these close calls clearly demonstrated the importance of complying with all of the PSM elements and had a major effect upon his efforts to improve PSM performance. So thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your stories with us. We really appreciate you highlighting the importance of being aware of the additional risks that are present during turnaround operations. We are glad these were near misses and not worse. Many other times, as we'll hear later, we don't get so lucky and we don't experience a near miss, but we have an incident instead. In our next story, we hear the role that learning from the past has played in fueling a passion for helping others to prevent incidents. This story comes to us from Rob Bartlett, who, if you're a regular listener, you'll definitely recognize. Rob is one of the co-founders of our company, Amplify. Currently serves as our senior principal consultant and is, of course, one of our regular hosts on this show. So without further ado, I'll let him share his story.
Back in 1984, I was about 14 years old, and I remember listening to the radio one morning and hearing about a tragic event that had happened in Bhopal, India. And as those of us in the process safety world know, that was one of the defining moments for the chemical industry and for regulation related to process safety. And then when I got out of college and first entered the workforce in the early 90s was right around the time when PSM had come into existence as a regulation. And I started my career at DuPont, where obviously they were one of the prime examples of how to safely manage process hazards. So I kind of cut my teeth at DuPont and learned a lot about PHAs and managing change and procedures and training and all that sort of stuff. And from then on through my career, I was always around dangerous chemicals, mostly flammables, some toxics here and there. But I was always around those types of processes where bad things could happen. And so therefore was always, you know, doing PHAs and MOCs, et cetera. So when I started consulting in the late 2000s, you know, I was just starting out. So I was pretty much doing any type of work that folks would hire me for, including some process safety work. But then I had an incident, kind of a life-changing incident that I was involved with kind of on the outside, but it really impacted me. I was helping a company that unfortunately had a major incident happen related to flammable materials and a vapor cloud explosion. And that really kind of turned me from focusing on kind of anything that folks would pay me to do to really focusing on process safety and making that the focus of what I wanted my consulting work to be. I really wanted to help more companies to manage their process safety in a way that didn't have fatalities or impacts on community or impacts on the business, et cetera, related to these bad accidents. So that major incident really kind of shifted my focus, and I've been focusing on process safety ever since. And the unfortunate thing in my mind is that, you know, PSM now is, let's see, as I'm recording this, is just over 30 years old, and yet we're still having significant incidents with casualties, be they fatalities or injuries on site, impacting communities, impacting businesses. Some of them at PSM facilities, others from facilities that are not regulated by PSM or by EPA's R&P program. So obviously, we still have a lot more work to do, and that's where my passion is now. So I'm really passionate about helping companies manage their process safety hazards, training the newer folks who are coming into the workforce who have not been around for as long as I have now. Can't believe I'm saying that, but helping them to understand PSM and how to safely manage process hazards. Also helping companies that maybe don't really have the experience to handle process safety issues, and obviously very passionate about helping them, as well as those who have mature processes that just need assistance, you know, with some of the work that they need to do to safely handle and manufacture and store all of their flammables or their toxic materials. So really, it's been an evolution for me over the last almost 40 years. It did start with that Bhopal incident, hearing that on the radio. And I am happy to say that I do think that the work that Amplify Process Safety does and has been doing since we started as a firm in 2019, I think that we've helped folks. And I certainly continue to look forward to expanding our reach, helping more folks, and really trying to make sure that at the end of the day, that we all go home safely to our families, which is really, you know, one of the key parts of our workday, is making sure that we go home to our families safe and sound at the end of the day. So that is why process safety is important to me.
Thanks, Rob, for sharing that with our listeners. Our next guest, Tim Murphy, actually had the opportunity to sit down with Rob to talk about why process safety matters to him. You may recognize Tim from episodes 41 and 68, so please check those out if you want to hear more from him. And without further delay, let's hear Tim's story.
My name is Tim Murphy. I work as the process safety manager for Arkema in the Americas region. I've been with Arkema since 2011, but I've been working in process safety since the late 90s. My experience has been in pharmaceuticals, chemicals, refining, and also I did some time as a consultant, which introduced me to some process safety in the food industry, which I find very interesting to say I've had experience in. So I'm happy to be back on the program and chatting with you about process safety, which is a passion of mine.
So that leads us to the purpose of our little talk here. So why is process safety important to you?
Process safety, it's important to me. Personally, I feel like, my job is an ethical job. There's certain ethics. We talk about engineering ethics. We talk about business ethics, but there's also the ethics of just providing a good service. And I feel that a role in process safety, specifically mine and my experience, I've always taken it as an honor to be in that role and provide that type of service to industry and the companies I've worked for. I really feel like it gives back. It's an incredibly meaningful job when it comes to the big picture of an organization.
Have you had any experiences either directly or kind of coming in afterwards as some sort of a subject matter expert with any sort of significant process safety incident?
I have had that privilege, and I've had that role and that responsibility during one of my job requirements in a large refinery. So I was pulled in after a incident happened at one of our process refining units where there was a fire event, and part of my opportunity there was to further understand how the job site was set up, but then also reflect back on the way that scenarios were developed in the PHA, look at other past incident investigations, and then looking at the control system to better understand what happened and why it happened.
In that, did you find that your process safety experience and your process safety focus really added to the ability of the group, the team, to investigate the incident as well as come up with ways to make sure it doesn't happen again? Because that's one of the focuses certainly that I have, which is obviously we want to prevent as many of these incidents as possible. But if, for God's sake, something happens, let's make sure it doesn't happen again. So do you feel like your input was vital to that?
Yeah, I did, Rob. I felt like, coming in as the engineer on this investigation team, independent and kind of a independent bystander in this whole ownership of the process and the responsibility. I came in there just wanting to know what happened. I'm an analytical guy. I'm an engineer. I just want to get to the bottom of it. And in that role of the process safety engineer for the site, that was early in my career, but I still wanted to learn what I could and help prevent that from happening elsewhere. So I was able to put a different eye on this scenario and the event and really pick up on just the facts that contributed to the actual event. There's underlying issues, that every incident may have, from management system failures to was someone personally responsible for making a mistake. But I didn't go in looking for that. I went in looking for the engineering evidence, the cause, the direct causes, and how this happens so that we can share it with other process areas or process units in that plant, that refinery, so that we could prevent it from happening.
Thanks, Tim, for sharing that with our listeners. Okay, now we're going to talk about what it was like when OSHA published the PSM standard back in 1992. So to kick us off, we'll start with a story from Chris Warnicki, who is going to go ahead and introduce himself for us.
My name is Chris Warnicki, and I work for NSAFE. They're an environmental health and safety consulting company, and I've primarily been involved in process safety management since I've been working with them. It's an area that's critically important and one that maybe doesn't get enough attention when you compare it with what I would call traditional safety. So I'd like to go over just a few experiences from my career to highlight that. Well, I've been in environmental health and safety for over 40 years, and I really got really involved in process safety in the early 1990s. And it started with a facility in Brazil that we were expanding, contained two very large tanks, one with toluene and another one with hexane. And I was involved in that project and working with the Brazilian government and local authorities and the plant, and realized as we were going through that and getting things set up that the process had actually been there a while. This was kind of an expansion of it. But the site had gotten very lax on some of their issues around mechanical integrity and inspections and so on. And I was just becoming familiar with process safety and realized the awful consequences if things went wrong down there. So that immediately made me realize that, you know, process safety is something you have to stay on all the time. It goes far beyond just the initial setup and putting the safeguards in place. You know, it's maintaining them, the key issue, particularly as you're going along with the process. Later in my career, I've unfortunately been around a couple of very serious incidents that, again, have driven home to me the importance of, again, process safety, properly maintaining it, understanding the risks and hazards involved. One involved a company I worked for that had a plant in Belgium. And again, it was a solvent-based process. And that operation involved an operator opening up the tank to do a test on it. But we were supposed to wait until after it was verified that all the solvent vapor had been cleared out of the passageway. And apparently he was in a hurry for some reason, or something was going on, opened it up too early. I don't know what the ignition source was, but it created an explosion, blew him across the floor, and resulted in a fatality. Again, that just struck home, you know, the importance of maintaining your systems and how important that is. The second one that I was involved in, we were building a smelter in Saudi Arabia, and it was being built by a company that was an expert company in building smelters. They had done the risk assessment up front. But what they did, and this is really contrary to what we all know how you're supposed to do a PHA, is they went in looking at the risks in terms of the safeguards they already knew they had. So they didn't start out from the standpoint of, here's a risk, here's a consequence, here's what might happen, and then later thinking about the safeguards. So they really underestimated or undervalued some risks that were there. And basically, what happened was we had a smelter where we were pouring off hot molten metal, and this was a new technology where rather than using a mechanical grinder, the molten metal goes down into what you could describe as a very powerful shower head, spraying water out at a very high velocity, breaking up the molten metal, and then dropping those tiny particles into a bath of water. Now, we all know what can happen when molten metal and water mix together. Well, somehow they hadn't thought through some potential consequences. And to make it a short story, what happened was that they weren't able to shut off the chute that dropped the material down, and it overwhelmed the shower, knocked it out of commission. Then you had pure molten metal dropping into this water bath. Yeah. The resulting explosion caused millions of dollars of damage. I mean, it blew doors off hinges and destroyed the process. Luckily, the few people that were there when it was at midnight were in a reinforced control room. So no humans were injured, but the damage was just devastating. And again, that goes back to the fact that the proper risk analysis had not been done up front. You just can't take shortcuts with things like that. You know, as a company, we only came into it late to look at the risk analysis that had been done. So probably we should have been more diligent up front. You know, we assumed the contractor knew what they were doing. They were the experts. And I think they just got too comfortable with how they built this process. The third thing I'll add, and this is something that's happened in my career over the last few years, is trying to get senior leadership in companies to understand the balance that needs to be there between OSHA metrics. You know, people get fixated on fatalities, recordables, and not paying enough attention to process safety issues, which can end up, you know, blowing a whole plant up, killing multiple people. But they get so fixated sometimes on seeing those metrics every month and putting all their attention into, you know, preventing that slip, trip, and fall, and sometimes not paying any attention to other things, which ultimately could be much more serious for the company. So you got to have that balance between process safety and what I would call traditional safety.
A huge thank you to Chris for sharing his story and his why with us. In the same spirit, we're now going to bring you another story of someone who was also working in industry when PSM was first promulgated and what it was like at that time. So our next story comes from Brad Bazargani.
So, Brad, I was wondering if you wanted to share with us, why does process safety matter to you?
Well, thanks, Molly, for this opportunity to have this conversation. I appreciate the space you're giving it. I've been in the oil and gas business for about 38 years, and the necessity and the significance of process safety, fortunately for me, was made obvious early in my career. Given the 38 years, I was there when OSHA 1910 went into effect to begin with. And in the Gulf Coast region where I worked, none of the companies knew what to do. It was new to everybody. So I remember going to regional meetings, talking about what's the impact, reading the law. There were training sessions. We had consultants, et cetera. And there are many anecdotes to tell about the things that I've learned as a newbie, because I was fresh out of college back then. But one stands out. As listeners may know, part of the OSHA 1910 required that we do HAZOPS. Well, they didn't frame it that way. They said process hazard review or analysis, under which you could do either HAZOP or a what if, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we chose to do a HAZOP, rightfully so, in my opinion. And we gathered. We had an offsite conference room set up. Myself, I was the reliability maintenance engineer at the time. So we had 20-year veteran supervisors, operators in the room, as they should have been, subject matter experts, etc. Outside consultant was leading the HAZOP. And we start. P&ID's up on the wall. We start with, I don't remember the exact, of course, node or, but let's just say we had flow. And question is, you know, what could cause high flow or pressure? Doesn't matter. What I remember to this day is that after we talked about the cause and, well, what's the consequence? Well, it could be Armageddon. And the next question is, well, what's your protection against that? And there was dead silence in the room. And it made it instantly obvious to my newbie eyes that even the 20-year veterans can miss stuff, and that it takes a structured, focused discussion to get the mind to really see the problem. From that day on, my career went through being in operations for 11 years and then later on into projects, which is what I do these days. But I have never lost sight of the fact that HAZOP is my friend. It is tedious. It is long. But it is the tool, I believe, that helps the human brain break things down in digestible chunks to really appreciate cause, consequence, and protection. And I insist on it on all my projects, much to the chagrin of management sometimes. Like, you don't need to do that. I'm like, yes, I do. I've been known to apply HAZOP to instrumentation, doing a analyzer installation that had a bunch of sample conditioning tubing and tiny pumps and filters. Nobody would have said by any law or regulation that a HAZOP would have been required, but I insisted, and we came up with very good recommendations, and I felt like I could sleep at night because we covered anything that could be imagined, because HAZOP just does that for you, in addition to the operability issues that you wouldn't catch if you hadn't done a HAZOP. So that is my short story on how 1910-119 impacted my life and my career.
I love that story. I love how impacted Brad was and is by HAZOPS. Thank you, Brad, for sharing with us. Now, for another treat, we're going to share Molly Meyer's story. Again, if you're a regular listener of this show, you'll know that Molly is frequently a host and is also one of my coworkers at Amplify Process Safety, where she is a senior process safety consultant. The thing that's a little bit different about Molly's story, just in relation to the timelines regarding when the PSM standard came out, is that Molly actually took her first manufacturing job in 1992, just 2 weeks before the PSM standard came out. And so she really had to hit the ground running. And well, I'll just let her tell the story from here.
I've been with Amplify Process Safety for the past 2 years. but I've actually been involved in process safety for much longer than that. In fact, I kind of consider myself from a professional standpoint as having grown up with PSM, process safety management. I graduated from college in 1989, and just a few years after that, in 1992, I started my first role in manufacturing as a process engineer about 2 weeks before the OSHA PSM standard was promulgated. And I was assigned to the only unit at that facility that was PSM covered. And so I was kind of in the vanguard in that facility trying to figure out, how do we comply with the standard? What does all this mean? They didn't really have any of the information that they needed. So we were gathering process safety information from scratch. They had assigned one of the operators, a senior person, to write their operating procedures for the first time. They had a couple of operators in training, and so they were rolling out official training with review of the operating procedures and knowledge review tests and documents and so forth, as opposed to their prior history of just pairing them up with somebody else and say, here, watch what they do, and then have at it. So that was interesting. Also, I was involved with their first PHA. They had never done one before. And I was tasked with being the scribe for that PHA. I had gone through PHA leader training about 6 months prior to that assignment. And so I understood PHAs and how to lead them, but they had a experienced process safety person at the site that took over the leadership role, and I got to scribe back when they didn't have all the software that we have now, and I had to handwrite all of those notes for the PHA, which, if any of you have been involved with a PHA in the past, you can understand what a challenging undertaking that was to handwrite out everything from those long meetings. Anyway, so I started out with PSM in that fashion. Throughout my career, even as a process engineer and project manager, process safety has been an important part of my work. I was involved in some projects where process safety was a key component of evaluating a project. There was one project in particular where we were looking at needing ethylene oxide, and I was tasked with figuring out what were the implications of that if we did have a release. And they were very eye-opening, putting together some overpressure maps, overlaying with the plot plan of the facility and seeing how far the impact could go throughout the community. And so we ended up going back to the research chemists and saying, can you make some adjustments to this? Because this is really more risky and hazardous than what we think we're willing to take on here. I feel like process safety has been a huge part of my entire career. When the Chemical Safety Board was formed and they started doing incident investigations, I found their reports very eye-opening with regard to the failures and the path of activities or failures that led to these catastrophic events. And that led me to realize that a lot of people don't really understand process safety. They don't really grasp the implications of some of these incidents or some of these problems that can lead to catastrophic incidents. Also, people don't understand the management systems that need to be in place to avoid such catastrophic results of explosions and fires and multiple fatalities and so forth. So the thought of somebody not being able to return home at the end of the day to their families, to have some permanent disability that alters their entire life moving forward, just reading about those incidents that the CSB was reporting on really brought home to me how important this work is, that if there's anything that I can do to help someone avoid a catastrophic incident that would prevent somebody from going home to their loved ones at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I do everything I can to help. And I realize that the knowledge and experience that I have, if I share it with others, may be able to prevent the next fire or explosion or catastrophe. And so that's why process safety matters to me. I want to make sure that that never happens to anyone else.
Thanks, Molly, for sharing about why you're so passionate about process safety with our listeners. We're going to pivot now to some other stories. So up next, we have Nat Wiener, who was a guest on episode 47 and is back with us today. He has a background as both a plant manager and in a role managing plant managers. And I think you'll really appreciate his point of view when it comes to the relationship between process safety and operations.
So process safety is important to me for a few reasons. First of all, let me just talk about how I think about process safety different than occupational safety. So occupational safety or hard hat safety, right? You got to wear your glasses, you got to wear your steel toes, you got to wear your gloves. If somebody doesn't follow those rules, one person gets hurt. And the reason process safety is important to me is when you're talking about managing highly hazardous chemicals, if that's not done right, everybody gets hurt. So part of my job as an operations leader is to manage risk. And even though you can never eliminate all risk, a good process safety program is important to me because you keep people safe and you keep everybody going home the same way they came in. And I mean everybody. So that's why process safety is important to me. The second reason process safety is important to me is I equate process safety with operational excellence. So if you have a good process safety mindset, management of change, pre-startup safety review, training, if you have those programs in place, you use those programs not just for your safety systems, but you use those programs for everything you do in your operation. And so good process safety equates in my mind to good operational excellence, and good operational excellence means good business results. So that's why process safety is important to me.
Thanks, Nat. I love that you said that process safety is operational excellence. All right, our next guest is Michelle Murphy from Sigma HSE. You may recognize her name and voice, of course, from episodes 51 and 65. She sat down with Molly earlier this year to talk about why process safety matters to her, and this is what she had to say.
You know, I've been thinking about this question for a couple of weeks after we first started talking about this and did some research, and I learned that over 150,000 people are killed, injured, or fall ill at work in the manufacturing industry every year. And that's a staggering number. And even before that, I've spent a great deal of time working in process safety and have run into so many different sad stories of things that have gone wrong through the years and people who didn't make it home. And this just brings me to a place where, you know, I often contemplate, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. And are we doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time? And, you know, my experience is that every installation and manufacturing facility is unique and resources are limited. We have so many codes and standards that can guide us what to do, but we have to understand them and interpret them and apply them in a way that fits the level of risk that we have. So as process safety professionals, what we try to do is understand the codes and really get to the science behind the codes. What is the basis for the requirements that are out there from various government and non-governmental agencies? You know, what is the science behind it? Why are they recommending something or requiring something? Well, we need to look at our processes from both the materials that we're handling and the operations. How sensitive to ignition or chemical runaway might a material be, and what the temperature is of the operation that we're handling, and couple those things together to understand the true risk associated with those operations. And once we can share that true risk with the owner and operator, they can make educated decisions and allocate their resources for the most effective risk reduction. You know, I wrote a mission statement at one point that said, you know, my goal is to share knowledge in a way that allows us all to sleep at night. You know, many people ask me when they're, you know, in the middle of a debate, during the middle of a hazard analysis, and, well, why should we do this, or why do we want to do that? And really, you know, we need to convince ourselves as process safety professionals working with different facilities whether or not we can sleep at night. Are we comfortable with these decisions and the recommendations that we're making? Do we think these are the right ones? For me, process safety is really about making sure that everybody can go home at the end of the day and, you know, I can feel comfortable with the decisions and the recommendations that were made.
a big thank you to Michelle for her time sharing her why and her mission statement with us. All right, so our final guest today is Will McBride, who joined us all the way back in episode number 7, and then again in episode number 75. I don't want to share too much because Will is a much better storyteller than I am, but this is the story of how an incident impacted Will earlier in his career and how it colors how he conveys the importance of mechanical integrity when he talks with his employees today.
So why does process safety matter to me? You know, this goes back to a story very early in my career where I was working for a particular organization, and I was working in a facility on an evening. We were having issues with some of the equipment in the molecular sieve location and having issues with I&E. So I was there that evening working. We received a phone call, and a gentleman at a partnering facility just up the street from us had a major incident that had occurred, and he had lost his life. It was almost immediate. It had to do with H2S, which we all know how fatal H2S is. This incident went public, and out of respect for organizations and families, I'm not going to mention any names. But that evening was incredibly impactful for me. It was a situation I was nervous. I didn't know what had happened. You know, when we grow up working in plants and facilities, we go through safety is number one, safety is number one, safety is number one. We understand the importance of OSHA process safety management. We understand why we have these procedures put into place. But it's almost if that, you know, if you've never lived through something or understand something, it's not the same impact as someone who's just, this is just what I have to follow. This is just day in, day out. It's a rule I have to follow. We grew up with rules, you know, with our parents, and some we agreed with and we didn't agree with, but we knew that our parents set those rules in place to help protect us. And, you know, so this one evening when I was working, we immediately got a phone call. Emails started blasting left and right. People were waking up because it was close to midnight, and there was a failure, and this individual was hit with H2S and immediately lost his life. Through days and weeks and months after that of meeting after meeting and you know, seeing the name of the organization go across multiple news medias, it really started to sink in for me that what we do is incredibly dangerous. And, you know, just like your parents teaching you rules growing up and setting things in place to help protect you, that's what OSHA has done with process safety management, PSM. And that's what we do when we talk about safety being number one. At the time, I was working in the engineering department, and the organization I was working for developed a strike team. And this strike team went out to all these different facilities. We witnessed a few more, you know, auditing situations that we fell into. And sitting through these audits and sitting through these meetings, you know, day in and day out, it really started to sink in how dangerous this equipment is that is operating on a regular basis. And me having the role in mechanical integrity that I do in asset integrity, that's when it hit. Mechanical integrity became a passion of mine at that point in time. That was in 2009. That's when I knew and understood what we do is incredibly important. We don't just inspect a vessel. We don't just inspect a pipe. We go out there and we perform a complete inspection that keeps a piece of equipment safe, keeps a highly hazardous concerned process fluid or gas inside of the equipment to keep it safe from all of these people walking around it on a day in and day out basis. So when I decided to leave the organization and come across the desk to be a vendor, one of the first things that I did was I started working with my team and putting that into perspective, making them understand that when, you know, we perform mechanical integrity, we have to work with integrity. When you go out to perform a simple thickness measure, when you go out to perform a simple visual, a lot of people's mindset is it's hot, it's cold, I need to get back inside, I've got a birthday party to go to, you know, I've got buddies I'm meeting at the bar today whenever I get off work. So that's all I can think about. For me, I explained to these guys that is it simple enough to just walk out there with a UT meter, take a couple UT points, fill out a sheet and go inside? Absolutely it is. And that's the process that a lot of people think. I put it into a different perspective. You're walking out there to perform an inspection on a piece of equipment that is highly hazardous, that if you fail with not having your integrity and you just quickly do it, and something later down the line happens to where that piece of equipment ruptures and a human life is lost, then at that point, you find yourself no longer just an inspector. You find yourself in a court of law facing a family who has lost a dear loved one and fighting for your life to keep yourself out of any kind of legal situation. So it's incredibly important. You know, we preach safety, we preach PSM, and we live PSM and we live safety. And so that's why it's so impactful for me, because I've lived it. I saw it. I saw a family lose a dear family member. And fortunately for me, I wasn't one of the people that had to have that conversation, but a few of the mentors that I grew up with did. They sat in the living room and they had to have that conversation. And when you hear them talk, it's gut-wrenching. It's one of the hardest things they've ever had to do in their life. And that's why process safety, you know, that's how it made an impact on my life. And that's why it matters to me. And that's why it's so important, so that when we go out, any kind of inspection that we perform, whether it's mechanical integrity or what, you know, any other element of PSM, it's set in place to keep us safe so that we go home at night. And it's easy for people who have never really had an experience not to truly understand that. But for those who have, it's impactful. And so I try to share that with my organization. I try to share that with people around me. And I even share that with my own personal family. My children, I don't get into the specifics of details of work, but I do explain to them and give real life scenarios of why we set the rules in place, very similar to what, you know, PSM has done for us. So that is what matters most to me. And that's how I got to where I'm at.
Thank you, Will, for answering why process safety matters to you. That was really powerful. All right. I want to take a step back here and thank all of the contributors to today's episode, including those that wrote in. Thank you so much. We could not have put this together without you. We so appreciate you letting us share these powerful stories to hopefully connect with others and inspire others when it comes to staying vigilant and keeping people safe when they're working around hazardous processes. I know that when I listened to all of this audio, I really felt that across all these stories, there was a recurring theme, which is we care about process safety because process safety is what prevents catastrophe, and it's what gets people back home safely at the end of each day. And we have to continue to care because, as Chris said earlier, it's not something you can just set up and then neglect. So if you didn't appreciate the power of a strong process safety program before, I really hope this episode has impacted you and inspired you. We hope you share the message with others at your facility and become a true champion of process safety. You know, someone once told me that process safety was, in a few words, keeping it in the pipe. While that's true, I hope you can appreciate all that goes into keeping it in the pipe, and I hope that you inspire others at your site to have a healthy respect for the hazards you work in and around every day. Process safety is our passion, and it was this passion that our co-founders shared that led to the start of our company. Our mission is to assist our clients with compliance with OSHA's PSM standard and EPA's RMP standard, with the ultimate goal to protect people, their companies, and their communities. We hope that in sharing these stories today, we're helping to spread this message with you. Again, a huge thank you to everyone who contributed to this episode and to Rob and Molly. We hope that if this is the first time you're joining us, that you'll stick around and check out the rest of our library of episodes. And if you have a question or comment about today's episode, we'd of course love to hear from you. And you can drop us a line at podcast@amplifyconsultants.com. And of course, if you're interested in working with us to improve process safety at your site, we would love to help with that. And we encourage you to reach out to us at info@amplifyconsultants.com. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, until next time, stay safe out there.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.